Well, I thought maybe I might need to open after the news I just gave of a joke this morning. So maybe you've heard this joke before. Maybe you haven't. But there was a man who went down to Georgia to visit his good friend. And when he got down, his friend there was a farmer down in Georgia. And he had a big farm. And while he was there, he noticed his friend's pig. His friend's pig was unusual because the pig had a prosthetic leg. And he'd never seen a pig with a prosthetic leg before. So he asked his friend, the farmer, he said, "What's so special about this pig that you would give him a prosthetic leg?" And the farmer said, "Well, it's like this. One day my granddaughter was walking in front of the tractor, and that pig over there, he just ran and knocked the daughter out of the way and saved her from getting run over by the tractor." He said another time, he says, "My grandson was in that pond over there, and he was drowning, and the pig went in and swam and saved him and got him out of the water and saved his life." And so he says to his farmer friend, "Well, I can see why you would save a pig like this. If he got hurt, you'd give him a prosthetic leg." And the farmer looked at him and says, "No, that's not it. This pig is, it just touched my heart, and I can only eat him one leg at a time." That was a bad joke, I know. So go tell it to somebody else and let them suffer too. If my daughter says, "Dad, those are your dad jokes, don't tell them in church." Well, sometimes things don't seem like they look, right? This morning, we're going to go to a church called Sardis. So I want you to get ready to go with me. We're going to need a Jeep to get there. So everybody hop in the Jeep. And Carlos, you're going to help Jack get there, because when we get there, we're not going to be able to drive all the way into Sardis, because Sardis is on a huge mountain. And there's like a little thin trail that we're going to walk up. So that's kind of like walking. We're going to have to go. So we're there now. So we're getting out. We're going to walk up this mountain. It's a hard walk. It's a steep walk. But up on top of the mountain, you can see it when we first pulled up, is Sardis, which is this, it almost, even for their day, it almost looked like a castle from the pictures that I saw, what they thought it looked like then. It's in modern-day Turkey, by the way, what they thought it looked like. So as you kind of climb and you get your way and you're making your way up there, you get there and you just see people that have a lot. This isn't a poor city. This is a wealthy city. And they have a lot, and they're pretty well confident that they're okay, that their city can't be taken. Because in, like, I think it's like 1,000 years, the city was only conquered twice because of its great location on top of the mountain. It was conquered twice, both times at night. And you know why? They were so confident that nobody could get into their city, they didn't even post a guard up on the wall. And both times, they got taken that away. Well, this city is very confident, and they're very wealthy, and unfortunately, so is the church. So as we enter in and we go down the streets and we get to where the church is, you will notice that the church is not like the dirt floor that we saw when we were in Ephesus, maybe. This church has marble on the floor, on the ground. It has great rock around in its walls. It's got light inside. It's lit well. I don't know if they drink coffee, but I'm sure they had the best coffee in all the churches we've been at. It probably even has a great breakfast for us this morning, waiting for us to eat. We go in to worship, and the worship is, the team is all young, all fit, all look a certain look, all have on the right sneakers and the right shirt and the right pair of pants, and they all look just right. I'm kind of being facetious, but you know what I'm talking about. And they're playing their worship, and it sounds great. And you're going, wow, the acoustics in here are really good. It sounds really good, man. We can sing along. The pastor's very charismatic and looks just right. He knows all the cliches to say them at the right time. But there's something missing in this church. They're so reliant upon themselves that they're missing the Spirit of the Lord in their service. So we look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. An angel, and to the angel of the church, that's to the pastor of the church, in Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Let's just stop there for a second, because that's a mouthful. What are we talking about here? Well, remember, the number seven means complete. It means whole, right? So he says here, who has the seven spirits of God. He's saying here that Jesus is letting us know that he has the complete work of the Holy Spirit with him. And that's important. For the work of the Holy Spirit is missing in the church at Sardis. Let me just tell you straight up the problem. They were very self-sufficient. They were very educated. They were very affluent. They were very wealthy. And they didn't really need to depend upon God. They depended upon themselves. They believed they could handle everything on their own. And that is a very dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. When the blessings of the Lord is more you are blessed, the more you must remember where the blessings come from. I remember once talking to Pastor Jules several years ago. And he said to me, he said, when I first came to America, I wondered why American Christians didn't pray more. He said, then I realized here in America, when an American gets sick, they go to the doctor or go to the hospital. Pastor, in his voice, Pastor, do you know in my country there aren't many doctors and there aren't many hospitals? If you get sick, you must pray. In America, you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital. He said, then I realized, Pastor, when you get hungry, you go to the refrigerator and you open it up and you make yourself a sandwich. He said, in my country, for many in my country, because he's from Haiti, he said, many in my country, he says, we don't have food. We don't know where food is going to come from. We must pray for our meal, that we have a meal for that day. He said, Pastor, he said, in my country, he said, you never know if you're safe or not. He said, you can be walking down the street and get gunned down. He said, you can be walking down the street and be killed or raped, or you can be your money taken from you. And that's true. Haiti is the worst of all the Western Hemisphere countries. And he said, but in your country, he said, you can walk down the street and you're safe. There are police that protect you. He said, not so in my country. You know, we have become very blessed and prosperous, especially since the 1950s on. I always like to look at pictures. I don't know, they come across my social media sometimes from the 1800s or the early 1900s. And though I don't know anybody in those pictures, usually it's they're outside of a school or they're outside of their house. You've seen them probably before. They're black and white. And I'll tap it and I'll blow it up. And I'll look at it. And I'll look at their faces. And I know before the 1930s that when people took pictures, they didn't smile in the pictures. That's just the way it was back then. You just look like stoic in the picture. Where today, you know, everybody smile. We got to take 50 pictures until we get all the kids smiling at the right time and all the eyes open, right? Back then, it wasn't like that. If you didn't have your eyes open, you got one shot at it. You know, you just got to get it done. And but you notice a lot of the pictures, and you look at them. Most of the kids don't have shoes on in America. Most of their faces are dirty. Like, they know this is their school picture day. And yet their faces are dirty. There's not an overweight kid in the bunch. And most of their hair needs to be brushed or combed or are greasy. Because we weren't as rich as we are today. And could it be that our wealth has become our greatest enemy? Could it be the reason why we sought God more was because we had to seek God more? We had to call upon Him. We couldn't afford the doctor. We couldn't afford this or that. You know, it used to be the Pentecostal church was known as a church across the railroad tracks because we didn't come from the affluent part of town. And we cried out, we sought God for our needs. And this is the church in Sardis. Their wealth has been their enemy, and they don't even realize it. And not that wealth is a bad thing, because there were many wealthy people in the Bible, but you have to understand where your wealth comes from and where your blessings come from. The church in Sardis, he says there's seven spirits with me. And then he says there's seven stars. And what is he talking about, these seven stars? Remember again, the word seven means complete or whole. And when we talk about the stars, we're talking about the leadership or the pastor. So he's saying the pastoral leadership here. You too are dealing with this feeling self-sufficient. Because Jesus calls them out and reminds them what he has for them. So let's look a little bit further. Revelation 3:1, he says, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and seven stars. What he's telling the leadership is that we're going to have to raise the temperature in the room. You know, either we are a thermostat or a thermometer. A thermometer just reads the temperature and says, oh, it's 78 in here today, or it's 72 in here, which it should be in the sanctuary right now, right? It just gives you the temperature. It just goes with the flow. So if it's 78, oh, it's 78. If it's 85, it's 85. If it's 58, it's 58. It just tells you the temperature. It just goes with the flow. But a thermostat changes the temperature in the room. The thermostat either raises it or lowers it. So when you walk in here, and I walked in here before, and it's been 85 degrees in this building. Mercy, that is hot. I've been in this building when it's been like 45 in here before. And I'm thankful that I don't have a thermometer up there. I got a thermostat that I can go to and adjust it and either raise it or lower it. As a pastor, there are sometimes I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I don't like doing that. Sometimes I even apologize for doing it. But I have to. Because my job as a pastor, I've heard it said many times, and it's probably true, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Because if we all get too comfortable in here, we won't realize our need of God. And so there are times that as leaders you have to raise the thermometer or the thermostat and set it. And this message in last week's kind of was like that. Think of Jesus for a moment. There were times he comforted the comfortable, or the comforted the afflicted. But there were many more times that he afflicted the comfortable and challenged the religious leaders of his day and challenged the young rich ruler who came and challenged different ones to follow him. God demonstrates love when we need love, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. So at times, his spirit will make you feel uncomfortable. So when you read your word, there are times you read your word and go, oh man, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Right? Because the spirit is speaking to you. So look at what it led to. Again, Revelation 3:1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. But you are dead. I like how the NLT puts it. The NLT says this, I know the things you do, that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. We just read it and it said you have a name that is alive, but you're dead. What it really means is, stated better than NLT, you have a reputation that you're alive. Everyone thought, man, that church is alive because it looks good. It sounds good. They're saying the right things at the right moments, the right phrases. And, oh, man, it looks good. But Jesus says, though your reputation is that everything is well, you're not. You're not well. The church had a great reputation. But if the Holy Spirit is not operating in the church, then Jesus says, you're dead. If the Holy Spirit is not moving, then where's the life? Where's my spirit? Because my spirit matters in the church. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing that has eternal significance in anyone's life. That we need the Holy Spirit so eternal things can be accomplished. Because as we know from Scripture, it's not by might nor by power, but by my strength, says the Lord. Right? Suppose you bought a brand new refrigerator. We're starting to talk about our refrigerator. It looked like it might be going out soon. I saw one I really liked down at Lowe's, honey. Oh, man, it's nice. You look at that refrigerator, and it's got like an iPad attached to the front of it. You know what? We can download our family pictures on it, and it can just circulate the pictures and just show them in full color and 3D clear, man. Oh, that would be cool, wouldn't it, on our refrigerator? It can even pop the calendar up on the refrigerator. And if we want to put something in the refrigerator, we can take a picture of our grandkid and his artwork and take a picture of it, and it can show it on that screen. We don't have our refrigerator cluttered with all their paperwork anymore. Oh, it just comes from the screen. We can walk and just like we get hungry, we get to the refrigerator, we can take a minute and just watch it just change. And guess what? It will even tell you when the milk gets low in the refrigerator and it's time to order it. New milk. Ooh, wouldn't that be good? It will tell you when the cheese gets low and it's time to order it. Matter of fact, you can program it so it will order it for you and you just go to Walmart and pick it up. Oh, man. Now that is the refrigerator that we need. Let's say we bought that refrigerator, because I'm going to speak in faith. We bought that refrigerator, brought it home, put it in the house, loaded it with food, got up the next morning, and it's all bad. And I call Jeff Lynch, you know, the appliance store, and say, Jeff, what happened? My food is bad in the refrigerator. And he says, did you plug it in? Oh, you mean I got to plug it in? And I didn't know, because that would probably be something I would do. So, you know, if you don't plug it in, it's not going to run. It's just a machine. Matter of fact, you're not going to get any pictures on the wall, no refrigerator. It's not going to tell you anything. if it's not plugged in, even the light won't come on. If the church isn't plugged in to the Holy Spirit, we're just a machine. We're just a social gathering of people. We're no different than any other social group that meets. But when we're plugged in, oh my, what can be accomplished is mind-boggling. It's far more than we ask or even think, the Bible says. When we plug into Him, when we plug into the Spirit, the problem with the church today is too many churches are unplugged. And we need to be plugged in. We lack the power of the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor, Kathleen, since you're close enough. Go to the light switches. You know how you have the 3 on 4 on top and the 4 on bottom? And you see the little slide down there? Slide them all the way down. Just turn them all off for a minute. All right, see how dark it is? That's kind of how it is when we don't have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But let's say we start asking God to move in our life. Slowly start raising them back up. And notice it gets brighter and brighter. The more the Spirit begins to move in our life, the brighter the light of the glory of God is demonstrated to our hurting world. There are too many churches that are dark, and we don't want to be one of them. And sometimes I wonder if we're not risking being one of them, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to move in our church, because we need the lights on, because there's a dark world that needs to see hope. As we were singing that second song this morning and talked about Jesus being our hope, I was going, yes, you're my hope. You're the hope of this world. And Lord, we need to get your light, your glory shining so that those who are lost, who drive by, pull in and say, we need to find Jesus. So that where we go, we are the light. That we're not walking around in darkness, but we're walking around in light. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed, in other words, all of us who have been in darkness, and now the light has come on, can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed in His glorious image. That is God shining through us, that they don't see us anymore. They only see the image of Jesus Christ shining through us. And that's what a Spirit-filled church offers the world. We offer the world Jesus, because Jesus is living in us, and He is a Spirit. And when we are full of His presence, then the Spirit is shining forth. We're not seen, but they see Him in us. And we need to let others see Jesus in us. Understand, the Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. Why did the Father send the Son? So that there would be a way that we could come in relationship with Him. That our sins could be forgiven. So He came and He died on a cross. So that our eyes could be opened. So the veil could fall. So that we could see Him. Now why did the Son send the Spirit? So that the Spirit could rest within us. So that we could show forth the glory of God to our hurting world. When Jesus returns, He wants to find His church with the light still on. When Jesus returns, He wants to find His church full of the Holy Spirit. As Timothy 3:5 says, that we should not have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, but we are operating in the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's time that we go all in with God. So look at verse 2. Wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of God. Verse 3, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Wake up. Wake up. If you've forgotten that it's important to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in your own strength, wake up. Wake up. Jesus is looking for us to wake up and realize our need of Him. It's time to go all in with God. It's time to live the victorious Christian life. There's victory that is coming as we look to Him. There's victory coming as we seek Him, as we wake up. Jesus gives us three keys to connecting to the Holy Spirit. How can we wake up? What do we need to do, Pastor? What do we need to do to wake up? Well, look at verse 3. It's all right there. He says, first of all, go back to what you know. Verse 3 says, go back to what you have heard and believed at first. Go back to what you know. I bet a good many of us grew up in a Spirit-filled church. I bet you know what it was like before. I bet you were taught the things of God. I bet you were taught how the Holy Spirit needs to move in your life and in the life of the church. That many of us aren't first generational believers. We got to go back. We got to go back to that time. Go back to what you know. Go back to what you've been taught. Go back to being a Spirit-filled church where God's Spirit is moving every Sunday. Go back. Now, we don't have to go back without air conditioning and only the funeral fans going. And we don't have to go back to not wearing makeup or that. But my goodness, if we don't go back to the Spirit moving in our church again, then our church and all the church as a whole is in deep trouble. We must go back. We must go back. It's time to cry out for a fresh outpouring of His Holy Spirit in our times. It's time to get our house in order and to seek God. Okay. Let me step on a little toe, and then I'll back off. When is the last time you've been at the altar crying for the Holy Spirit to move? Talking to me too, right? It's time to go back. Secondly, act on what you already know. Verse 3 says, hold on to it firmly. See that in the second line? Go back to what you've heard and believed at first. And it says, hold on to it firmly. The New King James says, hold on fastly. And Pastor Lee's language, just do it. Just go back and stop talking about it. Don't tell me how God moved years ago. Let God move today. Let God move through all of our lives today. It's time. You and I need to cry out to God to be full of His Holy Spirit. You and I need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Before we can move forward, we got to do three, which is repent and return to me again. That's how you cry back out. You don't come before God and say, I deserve this. You know, I got my act together. Everything's, you know, I'm ready now, Lord. No, it's come before God and fall on our faces and say, Lord, forgive us for not crying out to you sooner. Lord, we repent. of just being so self-sufficient that we think we can do life on our own. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our church and in our lives and being demonstrated for our families. Right? Repent and say, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I want to walk after you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I almost didn't read this because it's so well quoted. But it's so true, though. But it says, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Look at the last two verses in Revelation chapter 3, verses, well, the last three, 4, 5, and 6. This is what will happen if we do. Yet there are some in the church of Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. In other words, they haven't got their clothes dirty with sin. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, all who are victorious will be clothed in white. I never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone who has an ear, let him hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. So the Lord, so he's saying here, is that if we will follow this and we will cry out to God, that God will hear us and God will say that you are mine, that you belong to me. For people who are crying out for the Spirit, your name is never going to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because you're hungry for God. You desire God. It's the one who becomes complacent. It's the one who becomes self-sufficient. It's the one who says, I've got mine, I got all I need, I'm good. It's on dangerous ground. May I never get to the point where the last experience with God is the last one I think I need. I always need more of God. Never less.